Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Let's start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time today. Just thank you for your spirit. Thank you, God, for the way you minister to us. We just pray for more, God. We just pray, God, that your word would move forward, God, just as your spirit, Lord, takes your word and it feeds us, Lord, and it quenches our thirst, and we'll be so satisfied in you, and we would fall in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about just a really benign, not very controversial topic of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And it's an interesting time for us. I think beginning with even our men's retreat, you know, people coming to the Lord, and then our youth retreat, and just the presence of God falling. Young men having visions, and you know, even Ellen having a word of knowledge or prophecy. I think there's a lot. We're experiencing because of the Holy Spirit, and I just want to spend some time, just kind of park it there a little bit, and really dive into what does the Word of God have to say about the nature of the gifts, the purpose of the gifts. And so let's dive in, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. I'm just going to read that. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So that's everybody now. To each given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So gifts, service, and activities are under the umbrella, what Scripture is talking about, what Paul is saying here, is the manifestation, right? It is the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit, when it begins to move, what is the, we talked about this. What is the Spirit's, we're going to look at it later too again, because you can't look at it enough. The Holy Spirit's main goal in being sent to us is to glorify Jesus. And in a nutshell, for us to fall in love with Jesus and stay in love with Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so in manifesting through gifts, through service, you know, because sometimes I think, you know, a lot of times if you've been in church, it says, you know, people like to move in their gifts. People do. Because you know why? If you have a gift, I remember hearing this a while back, is when a gift is when other people do it, they get worn out. But when you do it, you're energized. I was like, oh, okay. And I remember reading, there's some research on gifted and talented programs. And one way research was looking at gift was exactly that. You know, that's where you were, if you do it, they can do it all day long. You might be talented in math, but you might just be smart, but you don't like to do math. But if you're gifted and talented, then you might actually be good at math, but you can do it all day long. So there's that. So someone who might be very athletic, but, you know, they don't like to go to practice. You know, they don't like to, you know. So there's that aspect of it. Scripture doesn't really parse it that way. But when we talk about gifts, there's, you know, gifts in some aspect, it's like something you have that God is not, you know, giving it to everybody. It's just giving it to you. But then you might not have something that somebody else has. But service is different, isn't it? You know? Well, you know, because I don't know. I mean, other than cousin, right, cousin Andrew, you know, I mean, not very many people are gifted in like setting up the church and breaking it down. You know? But what does it say? But the Holy Spirit under the manifestation, right? is empowering service. Now that's good news. So that means, you know, you could raise your hand to do something like volunteering for Delta, right? Because that's an activity, right? And saying, well, I volunteered to do that, and you can trust. Even though something is like, like that the Spirit is going to meet us and empower us, right? So it's all under, so you don't have to feel like, I have the gift of hospitality. You know what that means? Like if you don't have the gift, then you don't have to invite anybody to your house. That doesn't make sense, does it? But I've heard that. Oh, she's got the gift of service. That's why I don't serve, because I don't have the gift. Very unbiblical, right? But that's why it's under that umbrella of the manifestation of the Spirit, because what the Spirit does is God recognizes there's stuff we just don't feel like doing. There's just stuff. And so what Spirit does, if God commands it, like love, and that's exactly where Paul's going with all this, because 1 Corinthians 12 is laying the ground on gifts, because God is now introducing 1 Corinthians 13. He's going to talk about love. Because to love is to work. And you're not always going to feel like forgiving, or you're not going to always feel like being patient and generous. But it's the Spirit that empowers us. Now, if we escape having to be intimate with people, to be vulnerable with people, to devote it to the love of people, you're missing out on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I know people who pursue gifts, but they're not very loving. They're not. And we're going to see, because if the Spirit comes to empower you, what does that mean? You're going to love Jesus more. You're going to be more satisfied with Jesus. Now, Jesus even says back in Matthew 7, people are going to like prophesy in my name. They're going to do all kinds of, you know, wow, that's like very, very awesome. And Jesus is going to go, I never knew you actually. So we got to be careful here. 1 Corinthians 12:29, and this is like right before we get into 13, right? This is we get into the love chapter. It says, are all apostles? The answer is like, no, obviously, right? All prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now, even as Paul is like, he downplays gifts, and then in 14, he upplays gifts, right? And then centering on that is just this idea of love. So he's saying, before he gets into talking about loves, he says, the higher gifts, it actually means the greater gifts. And he says, the kind of gift, what? That will, he's going to say, I will show you a still more excellent way, and then he talks about love. So all the gift is the way you love. That's what love is. I mean, that's what gifts do. But if you're not interested in being very loving, then gifts really are not very helpful. Matter of fact, it could actually be damaging. I know people, okay? I actually, before I became a pastor, you know, all my church experience is really in charismatic churches. But I know a lot of people like, you know what? I feel like I'm being called to the deliverance ministry. Yeah, but you don't like people. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, what do you want to go with that? I mean, but it's like nice. You know, people pursue the gift of prophecy. Like I know people like, but they don't like people actually. You can't substitute gifts, okay, because you don't want to be loving. Then we hear this. 1 Corinthians, then he goes on to say, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Yeah. I mean, how many of us have not been in a church where there's just not a lot of love? You know? And, you know, like, you can have all these gifts manifesting. It's like, really? It's just not a blessing. and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, it says this, I am nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you could build your life and you can like have a PhD in, you know, theology. You can go and have all these prophetic powers. It's just nothing. Nothing. That's what Paul's saying. He's like, nothing. He's talking to now the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church is a church that is supernaturally gifted. And he's saying, you know, you got all this going on. You got some really gifted people in this church. It's nothing, actually. You know? Because what he's seeing is they're not very loving people. Then he says, love bears all things. That means love. You know what love does? You put up with people. That's what that means. You know? You don't ditch people. You don't just, it's like, that person's really hard. Forget that. You know what I mean? It's like, love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know what it means? You don't give up on people. You don't give up on people. It says love never ends. This means that when we die and all of eternity, we have to love. Now, I don't get that because, you know, you think, oh, heaven is like, oh, it's like you don't, I don't know what heaven's like. You know, because then there's this new kingdom that's, you know, heaven and earth, you know, is going to combine and, you know, is the new, you know, heaven and earth. And I don't know, but love is going to be important. Love. That means I don't know what all, because we're going to be in charge of stuff, but love is important for all of eternity. It's not like some vacation place where some luxury, you know, resort where you don't have to love. My voice is going. All right. Someone pray for me. It says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Then it says, then he goes on in chapter 14. Then Paul says, pursue love yet, right? The Greek there is de, which means and or yet. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For one, no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement. What I want us to get here, the spiritual gifts, especially, you know, when it comes to like the signs and wonders, and when we get to the uncomfortable gifts. What Paul says, you know how I kind of downplay gifts? Because like there's a lot of people among you that are not very loving and think you're all that because you got gifts. So he downplays it because, and rightly so, because without love, it's like nothing. Then he says, pursue love, yet the Greek here is, right? Zelos means be zealous. Be zealous for the spiritual gifts. Zealous. That means, like, we don't... Prophecy? Go and ask for it. I remember when Ellen came from the... You know, I don't want to put her... You know, I was like, you know, I just had this thing. I don't know, but, you know. I'm like, okay, well, get after it. You know, Jeremy's coming. He's got this vision, like a four-hour vision state. This is crazy stuff, right? And it makes you sometimes go, oh, I don't know. That's kind of uncomfortable. You know, here's the thing. When the Spirit is moving, right, it's not going to be comfortable, folks. It's not. You just got to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. And you just got to, and it says, not only are we past, because, you know, if I've heard like, oh, you know, like, I'm a continuationist. That means, oh, I believe the gifts are still for today, but I'm passively so. Doesn't, you know, scripture doesn't allow that, actually. You got to earnestly desire it. You got to earnestly desire it. That means you got to be zealous for it. That means it's okay. Pray for tongues. It's okay. It's like, okay, God, like, okay, can somebody else pray for me so I can have a gift of tongues? And then it says, and then prophecy? Like, that's even better, it says, because it builds up other people. Now, I've been in enough churches where people like try, because when you open up, right? Like you give an open mic, people come up. And I remember I've been in churches and people come up and say, hey, you know, I feel like God's saying this. And they're like, I don't know if you're saying that actually. You know, it's like, you know, you walk away, you're not very built up. No, I'm not saying, you know, and actually the interpretation of tongues and stuff, I mean, that's like even more. I don't think I've ever heard an interpretation where I felt like the Spirit would say, oh yeah, that's what I said. But that isn't to say that God's not going to move that way. What I'm saying is you got to be zealous. And when you see that, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. You know that the Spirit is moving, you know, when young men are having visions, right? And women are having the words of knowledge. I mean, like, this is good. Because that means the Spirit is manifesting. Then it goes on to say, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. That means people are consoled because, like, hey, I think I have a word for you. Now you gotta test it, but I think I have a word for you. And you know, it's like, oh, like God is saying this. And you're like, oh, I'm just so consoled by that. And then goes on to say, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, here's the thing. Why would you not want to be built up? Do you know what I'm saying? Why would you not want to be like, I want to be built up? But I also want to say this. Now, if God is not giving you the gift of tongues, does that mean God is not going to build you up? No. But why wouldn't you, you know, like, he's just saying be zealous and God, whatever you got, I want. And this is what, now I want all to speak in tongues. That's what Paul's saying. But even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so the church may be built up. What Paul is saying is, look, building up yourself, being built up, because when the Spirit comes, and if you're speaking in tongues, let's say you have the gift, and you know what the Spirit is doing? It's causing us to be in love with Jesus. But if speaking in tongues isn't doing that, then what's going on? But if prophecy is not doing that, if it's not building up or, you know, and you're like just saying stuff, then what's going on? Paul even goes on to say, so, my brothers, be zealous to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Don't be cautious of the Spirit coming. But all things should be done decently and in order. Paul has a lot to say, but in short, you know, obviously, I speak in tongues, but in a corporate gathering, I don't want my speaking in tongues be the center of attention. So you know what I do? Sometimes I mumble, you know? And you probably wouldn't know that I'm speaking in tongues. Because you know why? Because my main goal is the goal of the Holy Spirit, and that is for people to fall in love with Jesus, where Jesus is center stage, okay, during worship. John 16:14. All right. I want us to be reminded, like, this is exactly what Jesus, like, this is what we are praying for when we pray for the presence of God to come. He, talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus, what Jesus is saying, will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, the glory of God, according to Scripture, is the manifestation of God's holiness. So, Robert alluded to Exodus 34, when Moses asked to see the glory of God, God comes and he proclaims his love. Not generally, but to Moses. He says, I am love, I am mercy, I am grace, I am justice. God God proclaimed his love over Moses. That's why he wrote Psalm 90. I never connected it. So when the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, what he's going to do is going to, take what Jesus is saying, that he loves you. When the presence of the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to hear and feel, I love you. I died for your sins. All I have is yours. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I forgive you. That's what is being proclaimed, folks. And we don't want to get in the way of that. It says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, so I believe we're experiencing the Holy Spirit. I believe the Spirit is coming. And I believe, it's like, I just love. You know what got us here, though? Just be honest. Is Acts 2:42. Because I just feel like this is what was happening in the early church. I believe this is happening here. This is the early church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. You know what fellowship is? It just means partnership. Koinonia means like the fellowship of the rings, right? It means that this is your pack. This is the pack you run with, right? This is it. This is your fellowship. You're devoted to it. You know why people need to be devoted? Because there are times when you're not going to feel like it. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. That's why we have growth group people. When you join the church, right? That's a pack. Home group? Then here's your pack. Like, this is the way we are devoted to the breaking of bread. That's why, we're not just having lunch just to have lunch. This is our devotion. And the prayers. And to be honest, this is what we were lacking. This is where we were lacking. And God is like, you got to get after it. You got to get after it. And so the youth group, before their retreat, right? They met at, sang in Audrey's house, they were coming, they were praying, there was a prayer and fasting, a prayer chain that went out. And the same thing with the ladies, there was a, fasting and prayer chain that was going out. And God is like, okay, I'd love to show up. It's just, what does it say? If you seek me, you will find me. But what does it say? If you seek me with all your heart. So, Robert and I are talking, why don't we do that for Sundays? We are. We're going to. And we're going to do more of that. Because we want this. See, sometimes we think, God only likes to show up on special occasions. It's not true. It is absolutely not true. God loves, right? But what God is not going to do, he's not going to enable us. He's not going to just show up and we're just like passive about prayer. What does that teach us? Nothing good, right? What does it say? And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So when you, and this is the mistake sometimes, right, that we make. Like, the signs and wonders are being done. God's Spirit is coming and it's moving, right? And there's two camps, right? Let's get back to the word. Let's slow this thing down. Let's stick to the fundamentals. It's like, there's that camp. Then okay, now that the Spirit is here, let's charismatic this thing. Let's charismatic the rest of the way. No. They were devoted to prayer, people. That's what got us here. And that's what's going to take us home. And if you're devoted to those things, you know what Joshua told me at the youth retreat? I'm just going to, right? I believe you're going to be okay. When the presence came, he said, he told me, I've never felt anything so reverent in my life. There was just this awe that came. And, people that have been in the presence of God, you know what I'm talking about? That awe. Because that's we use it, that's awesome. No, that hot dog was not awesome. You know what I mean? it was good, okay? But he's just like this reverence, this awe. And he said there was this, and God is like, was pushing him on his knee down. Like he was resisting at first, he told me. And then just the presence brought him to his knees. Folks, that's the presence. You know that the presence of God was there. And he says, and many wonders and signs. Look, when the presence comes, yes, it's uncomfortable. We got to get used to that. But what God delights in is our devotion to the things that matters most to Him. We don't, okay, now that the presence of God is now, we go and do something else. No, we continue to be devoted. Matter of fact, we're now more devoted to these things. Right? Oh, if that's like happening on youth retreat and women's retreat and the men's, like let's do it for Sundays. And that's exactly what was happening with the Ephesian church. It was like the other extreme. It was like, you know, the Ephesian church was being just blessed. They were devoted to the things that the early Jerusalem church was devoted to, right? They were committed to each other. They loved each other, served each other, broke bread together, ate together, you know? And there are people that can't be bothered to get together, and all they want to do is just online stuff. No, we got to get together. We got to, you know, it says, what Scripture says, don't forsake the gathering of the believers. So what was happening in this church is like they were doing, they just became religious. They became a religious church. They were doing stuff for Jesus, but they weren't satisfied in Jesus. Does that make sense? Like, when was the last time I was like, oh, like when the Spirit of God comes, it's like, you know, the Scripture says it's the Spirit of Christ. Like, it's in, like Jesus is inside you telling you, like, I love you, I accept you, you know? It's like, you're just undone. And they forgot. It says, so this is Jesus talking to the Ephesian church, but I have this against you that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You know what happened? I don't even have to be there. I know exactly probably. I mean, I'm not going to say, They just stop praying. Is what I believe is happening. They stopped like really being devoted to each other. There were probably difficult people in that church. You know, they're like, okay, you know what? Maybe not him. Oh, maybe not. You know, it's like, it just got to the place where like, they weren't devoted to the things that brought the presence, and they just fell out of love. When you fall out of love with Jesus, it's just another religion. It really is. So. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, we want them. We welcome them. Why? Because the gifts are to build one another up, to say, hey, it's the Holy Spirit says the command is to be filled with the Spirit. What else is the Holy Spirit doing? It's pouring out of you like what? Living water. Rivers of living water. And that's just like what a gift is. You just get a gift. God wants to gift you and just pour out. It could be supernatural, or it could just take service or hospitality or words of encouragement. It's just the way we are just ministering to each other. And so we want to be zealous to go after these, you know, because we want whatever God wants us to have. We want to be zealous for tongues. We want to be zealous for prophecy. We want to be zealous for service. We want to be zealous to show up. Be together, be devoted together. And the thing is, and the Spirit will empower us to do so. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just God, thank you. God, thank you that you are moving in our church. God, moving in our lives. And we just want more, God. God, we want everybody here to be satisfied in you. God, would you send your glory and just sing over us, God. Just proclaim love to those who know not your love. And would you just proclaim, God, proclaim your love, mercy, and grace, God. And just help us to rediscover our first love. And for those who don't know you, God, I just pray that your Spirit would go. And would you just, God, minister to them? God, would you just give them a heart, a new heart? God, just, or if you're moving in them, we just pray, God, you would draw them in now, that they would give their life over to you. God, in Jesus' name.